Today we have the privilege of studying the 13th chapter of Yeshayahu, Perek Yud Gimel. This chapter opens the middle section of Sefer Yeshayahu, a section that goes from Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13, all the way until chapter 35, Perek Lamed He. Many of the chapters in this section begin with the term Masa. More specifically, the word Masa, or a burden, followed by the name of a kingdom. Thus, our chapter begins Masa Bavel. These chapters tell of a prophecy regarding a specific nation, not the nation of Israel, but one of the other surrounding nations who are neighbors of Israel in the Middle East. This chapter, for example, is Masa Bavel, and as we will see in future chapters, we will read Masa Mitzrayim, Masa Moav, and so on. These chapters deal with events that are specific to the time of the Navi. At the same time, they also contain larger universal messages from which we can learn. In my presentation of these chapters, I will try to include both the universal messages and the specific historical information as it relates to the time of the Nevuah. It will not be possible in these chapters to read over every pasuk. I will try to select groups of pasukim and focus on them, and I encourage whoever can to read over the entire chapter on their own. This chapter, Masa Bavel, begins with a very interesting comment by Rabbi Yosef Kaspi, one of the medieval commentators. He writes as follows. He argues that this chapter is about the fall of Bavel in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. As we know, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the second Beit HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash approximately 130 years or so after the time of Yeshayahu. And shortly after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash, 60 years later, the kingdom of Babel, which he headed, was destroyed by the kings of Persia and Media, Paras and Madai. He argues that this chapter is about that fall of the kingdom of Babel into the hands of the kings of Paras and Madai. In other words, an event that happens 200 years after the time of Yeshayahu. How then does it connect to the rest of Sefer Yeshayahu, he asks. He writes as follows. Ki hakol sug nefilat malchut Ashur, v'hakol sug nasi'ut Amenu. He gives a typological explanation of how this relates to the previous nevuot. This nevuah is similar in concept or in type to the fall of the kingdom of Assyria, which Yeshayahu was spoken about in general way in Perek Yud. All of it is about the raising up of our nation as the other nations fall down. There are some other specific points which we can grasp, though, in relating this chapter to the fall of Assyria. Most specifically, there are three points. The first is the idea that it is God who directs world events. And this is a point that the Navi emphasizes in the first five psukim of our chapter. The fall of Babel is due to the hand of God. It is not due to random political events. The second issue the Navi addresses is the issue of Yom Hashem, this day of God's conquest. What is the day of God's conquest? Is it something we ought to look forward towards, or something we ought to be terrified of? That is the second issue the prophet addresses. And the third issue is the ephemerality of empire, that empire does not last, and that is the last issue in this chapter. All these issues relate closely to the polemic which the Navi has waged against the claims of empire of Assyria. Assyria essentially claims that it is working at the direction of the god Ashur, and therefore it rules the world. Yeshayahu has argued against Assyria that no, political events are directed by God. Furthermore, Yeshayahu has argued that God will act to subdue Assyria, and furthermore, he has argued that Assyria is ephemeral. All of these points are also present in this chapter, which is entitled Masa Bavel. And so in this way, we can expand the point that Rabbi Yosef Kaspi makes and realize that the type of polemic that Yeshayahu delivers against Ashur is typologically similar to the polemic we will read in this chapter against Babel. Masa Bavel, Asher Chaza Yeshayahu Ven Amotz. Al Har Nishpes Seunes, Harimu Kol Lahem, Hanifu Yad V'Yavou Pitchei Nedivim. He begins with the statement Masa Bavel, which Yeshayahu Ven Amotz prophesied, and then immediately introduces the prophecy with a call to arms. Upon a high up mountain, raise up a banner. Harimu kol lahem, raise up a voice for them. Wave a hand and let them come into the gates of the princes. Who is it who are entering the gates of the princes, the gate of the kingdom of Bavel? Ani tziveti limkudashai, gam karati giborai leapi, alize gaavati. The verse 3 begins with an extra ani. We could, of course, say just tziveti. We would understand, I commanded. But here the prophet emphasizes, ani tziveti, I commanded, I, God, have commanded limkudashai. Here the word mekudashai, which normally means those I have sanctified, here it means those I have made ready. As the Targum translates here, limzamenai, to those who I have made ready. I have commanded to those I have made ready. I have also called my brave ones, my heroes, le'api, those who are brave to come in response to my anger, alize ga'avati. And here we have an interesting phrase. Those whom God is calling are called alize ga'avati. And then Farshim here explain, those who are happy that I am exercising ga'ava over Bavel. That is the explanation of the Radak. That by means of them I am making myself chief over Bavel. So alize ga'avati, those who are happy at my chiefness, those who are happy at my sovereignty. So God is inviting certain brave warriors to come, because these brave warriors will, through their conquest of Bavel, demonstrate God's sovereignty over Bavel, God's chiefness over Bavel. Kol hamon beharim dimut amrav, kol she'on mamlechot goyim ne'esafim. A voice of the masses in the mountains. It appears like a great army. Kol she'on, a voice, a powerful voice of noise. Mamlechot goyim ne'esafim. Kingdoms of nations are being gathered. And this appears to be the gathering of an army in the mountains, who are coming to conquer Bavel. Historically, Bavel's enemies come from the mountains. Who are these mountain people, though? Who is their leader? We are told at the end of Pasuk Daled, Hashem Tzevakot Mefaked Tzva Milchama. It is God, the Lord of armies. It is He who is the commander of this army. In other words, the army that is conquering Bavel is not operating due to political machinations or political calculations of Paras, of Madai, or of other kingdoms. Rather, it is God's own call who is calling these kingdoms. It is God who is directing their actions. Ba'im me'eretz merchak mikzeh hashamayim. They come from the edge of from faraway lands, from the edge of the sky. They are coming from far away. Who are these people? Hashem uchlei za'amo lechabel kol ha'aretz. God and the tools of His anger to destroy all the land. And this, of course, is reminiscent of the language we found in Pasuk Perak Yud, where we read about Assyria as Shevet Api, as the rod of God's anger. Here, those who will destroy Bavel are also being called Klei Za'amo, the instruments of God's anger to destroy all the world. In other words, the destroyers of Bavel are instruments of God's anger. They are acting at God's behest. It is God who is coming to attack Bavel. In the next several psukim 6 to 11, we read about Yom Hashem, the Day of God. It is important in dealing with these psukim to understand a little bit about the history of this phrase Yom Hashem, the Day of God. What does it mean? We find this phrase Yom Hashem used in Sefer Amos in Perek He, in the fifth chapter of Amos, where Amos illustrates the idea that people are very excited about the day of Yom Hashem, but they in fact should be terrified of Yom Hashem. And this is also illustrated, interestingly enough, in the fifth chapter of Yeshayahu, where he also criticizes people who are excited about Yom Hashem, and says to the people, Lama lachem Yom Hashem, halo hu choshech velo or. Don't you know that the day of God is a day of darkness? not a day of light. That is from Amos. People ought to be scared of Yom Hashem. See it as a time of darkness, a time of destruction. Because Yom Hashem, while people tend to see it as a day of salvation of Israel, is also a day of punishing the proud of other nations. And because God is punishing the proud of other nations, the Jews ought to recognize that this is a time when God is punishing the proud, and they themselves ought to divest themselves of any vestige of pride, and recognize that it is not just that God is rewarding the Jews because they are Jews, but that he is punishing proud nations. And if there are proud and arrogant members of the Jewish people, they too might suffer from Yom Hashem. And so Yom Hashem ought not to be a time of rejoicing, it ought to be a severe time of sober second thought, even if God's anger is in the first place directed against Gentile nations. And here Yeshayahu illustrates this in Psukim Vav, actually going on from Perek Gimel, from Pasuk Vav, all the way down through Pasuk Yud Chet. This is the major theme, but I will only focus on the first verses from Pasuk Vav until Pasuk Yud Aleph. Helilu ki karov Yom Hashem, kishod mishakai yavo. Scream, for near is the day of Hashem. Like destruction from the Almighty it will come. Al ken ko yadayim tirpena, v'chol levav enosh yimas. Therefore all hands will become weak, and every human heart will melt. V'nivhalu, they will become terrified. Tzirim v'chavalim yochezun, they will be seized by pangs and pains. Kayoleda yechilun, they will shake like a birthing woman. Isha re'ehu yitmahu, pnei lehavim pneihem. They wander each man to the next one. Their faces are red like fire. Hine yom Hashem ba, behold, the day of Hashem is coming. Achzari ve'evra v'charon af, cruel with anger and wrath. Lasum ha'aretz l'shama v'chata'eha yashmid mimenha, to make the land into wasteland, and the sinners he will destroy from it. Interesting, the phrase here is not he will destroy Bavel, but he will destroy the sinners. In other words, God's Yom Hashem, God's day of conquest, ought to be recognized as a day directed against the sinners of when, wherever they are, even though his wrath in the first place will fall against Bavel the powerful. Ki chokvei ha'shamayim uchsileihem lo yahelu oram. The stars of the sky and their constellations, here the specific reference is to Ksil, the archer, one of the constellations, Orion, lo yahelu oram, will not shine their light. Chashach ha'shemesh b'tzeito v'yareach lo yagiyah oro. The sun is dark in its coming out. In other words, the sun comes out, and yet it is dark. V'yareach lo yagia oro, and the moon will not give forth its light. Why is this image of darkness so important? Because there is this expectation that Yom Hashem will be a day of light, of happiness for the Jewish people, and the prophet is here speaking in a manner of mashal, and saying that the trouble and terror of Yom Hashem will be like a day of darkness. This idea is illustrated in the next pasuk, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, which nicely wraps up the main idea of this section. Ufakadti al tevel ra'ah, I will visit punishment upon the world in the form of evil. V'al rishaim avonam, and upon the evil ones I will visit their sins. V'hishpati ge'on zedim, I will make an end to the pride of those who are hypocritical. V'ga'avat aritzim ashpil, and the pride of the rulers who terrify others, that is how the word aritzim is consistently used in Sefer Yeshayahu, aritz, to be the rulers who terrify others, or tyrants perhaps, the pride of the tyrants I will bring low. In other words, Yom Hashem is a day where God exercises sovereignty, and he does this by bringing low those who have previously been high and arrogant, those who have refused to recognize God's sovereignty and acted away in a way that is arrogant and sinful. And that is certainly characteristic of Babel. Babel, who, as we see, is called elsewhere, later on in the chapter, is called Svi Mamlachot, the most desirable among the nations. Babel thinks of itself as the most powerful of countries. Babel will be eliminated. Let us turn then to Pasuk Yutet, chapter, verse 19 in this chapter. I skip a little bit of the graphic description of the destruction of Babel, and focus here on the meaning of Babel and the meaning of God, of Yom Hashem, being directed against Babel. It is important to understand the place Babel occupies conceptually in the world of the ancient Near East. In certain ways, Babel is similar to the Vatican. It is a historic religious center which prides itself on having a religious tradition going back to the very earliest times. Babel was the religious center of all of Mesopotamia. Even the kings of Assyria saw Babel as a holy city, and it contains some of the most ancient shrines. Of course, the kings of Assyria developed their own theologies to show that Assyria was an important religious site, but they too knew that Babel held historic prominence in Mesopotamia as the most important religious site in Mesopotamian religious history. And so its religious status gave Babel the sense of a city which could not be conquered, or which ought not to be conquered. So much so that when in the late 8th century, in the time of Yeshayahu, Sargon and then Sennacherib fought against Babel and ultimately destroyed Babel, in other words, the kings of Assyria in the time of Yeshayahu did fight against Babel and temporarily destroyed it, they were seen by their contemporary Assyrians as having done an inexcusable and unforgivable act. And so Babel held a very special status in Mesopotamian religion. And it is with that in mind that we approach Pasuk Yutet, verse 19 of this chapter. V'hayta Babel tzvi mamlachot tiferet geon kastim. Even though Babel is the most desirable of nations, here tzvi not from the language of a deer, but tzvi here meaning to desire, related to the Aramaic tzavi, which we find in our Ketubot. So here v'hayta Babel tzvi mamlachot. Even though Babel was the most desirable of kingdoms, tiferet geon kastim, the chiefness of the pride of the Chaldeans, or the Chaldeans, the chiefness of the pride of the nations who surround Babel. The Chaldeans are various tribes who lived in southern Mesopotamia and the area around Babel. Even though Babel was the most desirable of kingdoms, the chiefness of the pride of the Chaldeans, nevertheless it will become kima'apechat elokim et Sodom bet Amora. It will become like God's overturning of Sodom and Amora. Yeshayahu here speaks about Sodom and Amora, uses them as an image of total destruction, as he did in Perak Aleph. Sodom and Amorah, of course, those cities destroyed in Sefer Breshit and Perak Yud Tet. Lo teshev lanetzach velo tishkon ador vador. Babel, we are told here, will not dwell forever. It will not last for generation from generation to generation. Well, why might we think that Babel would last forever or from generation to generation? Most kingdoms do not last forever or from generation to generation. It's important to understand that the popular conception of Babel was that it was a kingdom which would last from generation to generation. And it is against this idea of the eternity of empire that the prophet is polemicizing here. Babel is not an eternal empire. Babel will not last as an eternal city. Rather, it is ephemeral, like any other arrogant city is. Lo teshev lanetzach, it will not dwell forever. Velo tishkon ador vador, it will not remain inhabited from generation to generation. Rather, what will it become? Velo yahel sham aravi, viroim lo yarbitzu sham. It will not even be the place where Arab nomads, refers to Arab nomads at this time, nomads from Arabia. The Arab nomads will not pitch their tents there. Viroim lo yarbitzu sham, nor will shepherds cause their flocks to dwell there. In other words, even nomads and pastoralists will not dwell in Babel. It will become such an abandoned city that even the nomads and the pastoralists who are not urban dwellers, they too will pass by Babel. V'rav tzusham tziyim umalu batehem ochim v'shachnusham benot ye'ana u'si'irim yirak kedusham. Various types of jackals and other animals that indicate abandonment will inhabit Babel instead of the urban dwellers who have historically dwelt there. These are tziyim and ochim, various types of evil animals. These animals will dwell in Babel, and it will become an abandoned city inhabited by animals who pride them, whose character it is to dwell in abandoned cities. And Yeshayahu speaks in the last verse, "Usi'irim yirak dusham," perhaps referring to these mythic devils who will dwell there. This idea that it is a place which will be a haunted ruin.
Ve'ana iyim ve'al menotav ve'tanim behechale oneg.
In the palaces and the great halls of pleasure of Babel, these jackals and animals of destruction will sing and cry. Ve'karov lavo ita ve'yameha lo yimashechu. Its time will come very soon, and its days will not last. In other words, Babel, which we thought of as an eternal city, will in fact end very soon. And so we recap here the three themes of this chapter. The first theme, the idea of it is God who is directing the destruction of Babel, that in Psukim 1 to 5. The key point is Hashem Tzevakot Mefaked Tzva Milchama. It is the Lord of Hosts who is commanding this army which will destroy Babel. The second idea is that Yom Hashem is achzari ve'evra v'charonaf. It is cruel, it is angry, it is wrathful. Do not think that Yom Hashem is a time of rejoicing. It is a time of God's exercising his anger, visiting this upon the proud their own sins. V'yishbati ge'on zedim v'ga'avat aritzim ashpil, from Pasuk Yud Aleph. I will end the pride of the hypocritical, and the pride of the tyrants I will bring low. In other words, it is a time when God is exercising his anger against the proud and the arrogant. And the last theme in Psukim, Yud-Tet through the end, the idea that Babel, which when everyone thought about as an eternal city, even Babel will have an end. Even Babel, lo teshev lanetzach velo tishkon ador vador. Even Babel will end and will not last forever. What is it that lasts forever? It is God who lasts forever. And the question of does that mean that Israel will last forever? That issue is addressed in the first two psukim of Perak Yud Daled, which we will study next time.